Praise Love God. Hallelujah. Radio.
Holy Ghost, I'm so grateful, God, to know you did the most when you created her for me. Lord, you know I have witnessed your glory, all this favor you showed me. When you gave it to me, I had to learn what to do with your blessing. Now I know that a man who finds it, the wife finds a good thing. So every time I think of her, I'm thinking you. And when I give my love to her, I'm thinking you. Loving her like Christ loved the church, 'cause you told me to. Yeah, she a missy on your glory. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm worthy, but I'm under your covenant, so I ain't worried. I'm just thanking you. When I think of her, I'm just thanking you. When I give her love, I'm just thanking you. Married and in love, I'm just thanking you. You. When I think of her, I'm just thanking you. When I give her love, I'm just thanking you. Married and in love, I'm just thanking you. You. Song of Solomon, chapter 8. Read it to me, tell me what it says. I know that you don't make mistakes. So if it's in the book, then it must be okay to love her. No, I'm not ashamed. Feels like a wedding night, I pray, oh yeah. Yes, a man who finds it, the wife finds a good thing. So every time I think of her, I'm thinking you. And when I give my love to her, I'm thinking you. Loving her like Christ loved the church, 'cause you told me to. Yeah, she a missy on your glory. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm worthy, but I'm under your covenant, so I ain't worried. I'm just thanking you. I don't understand why we can't talk about being in love with the one he gave us. He knows what he was doing, but she was his greatest creation. So I hope that you don't mind when I testify. Loving her like Christ loved the church, 'cause you told me to. Yeah, she a missy on your glory. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm worthy, but I'm under your covenant, so I ain't worried. I'm just thanking you. When I think of her, I'm just thanking you. When I give her love, I'm just thanking you. Married and in love, I'm just thanking you. You. Think of her, I'm just thanking you. When I give her love, I'm just thanking you. Married and in love, I'm just thanking you. You.
Praise God. We thank you, oh Lord, for allowing us to be on the Blog Talk Radio once again this Saturday evening, Father. Hallelujah. You're so wonderful, Father. Hallelujah, that we can take the time to magnify, praise, and exalt your holy name, because you are worthy to be praised. Therefore, I will bless you, O Lord, at all times, and your praise shall continuously be in my mouth. Praise God for everyone on the line. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus, and who are on the line. Amen, Father. And we now turn this show over to the Honorable Apostle Rosa L. Arnold, teaching to us today what it is to believe, hallelujah, with the heart. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being with us again today to give him praise and glory and to honor him. Hallelujah. Praising God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus works. When you praise him, praise the Lord. Our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord, yes. Those trials that seem to bind us, they'll fall perilous behind us. As we praise him, praise the Lord. Jesus works, hallelujah. When you praise him, praise the Lord. Our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord, yes. Those chains that seem to bind us, they'll fall powerless behind us when we praise, hallelujah, praise him, hallelujah. Let's just give him a praise right now.
Hallelujah.
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 All of us.
Yes,
Lord.
Yes,
hallelujah. 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 Oh, God, we give you the praise.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
We give you the praise. And we give you the glory.
Hallelujah.
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 Oh, hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
in the mighty name of Jesus.
My God.
And I give you praise, God. Oh, I just give you praise right now. Hallelujah. Our topic today is what it means to believe with the heart. Oh, we've talked about what faith is. We've talked about how faith comes. And we've talked about how people believe with the head instead of believing with the heart. But today, I want to emphasize and reemphasize what it means to believe with the heart. And one of our main scriptures for this lesson is found in Romans 10 and 10. And Paul is saying to us, for with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. I want you to notice what I'm saying here. Paul is saying, for with the heart, man believe it. Glory be to God. So it's with the heart that man believes. Over in Mark 11:23, it's speaking to us and saying, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, and shall believe in his heart. Hallelujah. This is the Amplified. Glory be to God. That those things which he saith shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he said. All over the country, wherever God has sent me in ministry, as I pray for the people. Hallelujah. I will use this scripture, Mark 11:23, because I was not doubting in my heart, but I did not want them to doubt in their heart, but to believe. Oh, glory to God. Because God sent two angels to me when I was in the hospital in February of 1980 and said that once I release my faith, if I'm praying for others, that it's over. It's between that person and God as to whether they receive their healing and their deliverance. You see, on January the 1st, my mother had a heart attack, and she had to have a trip about that. And then in February, right before the end of January, my stomach began to protrude and protrude. And there were some blockages in my stomach, and they said that they had to remove them or I would die. I didn't want to do surgery because I was praying for people, and God was healing their bodies. He was lifting the legs up. He was opening blind eyes. When you could see the eye come back from the fight, I couldn't do that. They won't have faith in me that if I'm going to have this surgery. But you see, God has a way of doing what he wants to do, no matter what we want. And so he let my subconscious mind come to the forefront, and my conscious mind went to the back. And that's the one that signed the papers to have that immediate surgery. You see, God had to straighten me out. He said, all I want you to do is stay in my word and teach the people from my word, not from what you had people teach you, because all those things were not right. But you stay in my word and preach my word. And he told me how he had healed people, even like Hezekiah and others, and how they healed them in the wilderness. And he said, I cannot dictate to him how he must heal. See, at that time, my mother nor I would even take an aspirin. We just believed God for everything. Hallelujah. But I thank God. I thank him for how he opened my spiritual eyes and my heart so that I could understand and I could go forth and move in him and not worry about what people thought or what they felt. Hallelujah. Over, we talked about the heart last week. A man is the spirit of man. And to further explain to you what it means to believe with the heart, we have to first understand that the heart of man is the spirit of man. Man is a spirit. He has a soul. And God allows us to live in a body. This body that you feel, that you touch, and this heart that's pumping your blood, that's not the heart God is talking about. He's talking about your spiritual being, that when you accepted Christ in your life, when you received the Holy Spirit, oh, glory be to God, hallelujah, then he's within you. He has changed your spirit, man. He has renewed your spirit, man, but he didn't renew your soulish man, nor did he renew your body. Hallelujah. So we have to know that the heart, when we are reading the word of God, does not refer to the human physical organ in our body. We couldn't believe with our physical heart no more than we could believe with our hands. Our hands only can do what we use them to do, what we do with them. But they can't lead us. Hallelujah. Spirit doesn't refer to any physical part of your body. You can't believe. You see, the heart, the spirit man, is used to convey a thought. Notice how we use the word heart today. An example is that we talk about the heart of a tree. When those men came and cut our trees down, the heart of a tree is that inner core. And that's what the spirit is in us. It's that inner core. Hallelujah. You see, when we talk about the heart of a subject, what are we talking about? We're talking about the most important part of that subject, the very center of it, Shikoboshata, the very core of it, the main part of it, around which the rest revolves. So our spirit revolves around. When God speaks about the human heart, he's talking about the main part of a man, that center part, that core that keeps us living. It's the very center of man's being. The very center of man's being is our spirit man. So then we know that we are tripart. Just like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Trinity. Our bodies is the Trinity. We have soul and we have a body. The body is to cover this, the body part, the spirit part of us, and our soul is real. Over in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and I'm redoing just a little bit from last week. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, hallelujah, your whole spirit, soul, and body are preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And what Apostle Paul is telling us, he's saying, I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body. Notice that Paul started with the spirit. He speaks of the spirit first. And when God speaks of the heart, he means the human spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He means the human spirit. And you're going to find times a lot in the Bible about the heart and the spirit. The difference between the heart and the spirit, they're often interchangeable. But we know that man is a spirit because he is in the same class as God. Man is made in the image and the likeness of God. Oh, back over in Genesis 1:26. Hallelujah. When God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit together decided that they were going to try a man on this earth. You see, when Lucifer was in charge of the earth, that was his domain. And he would go to the south of the north and he would give beautiful, melodious music, worship unto our Father. You see, every musical instrument was built on the inside of Lucifer, and the creatures, the people that was all there, hallelujah, they were people with a heart, but they didn't have a spirit and a soul like we do, like the ones that he created. You see, he put, when he made Adam out of it of the ground, then he breathed Hoshata, his breath into him. And before he breathed into Adam, he was just a lump of clay, a dust, formed in the form of a body, laying on the ground. And it took the Spirit of God to be breathed into that lifeless form on the ground that gave life to it. And it's that same Spirit. You remember, as you read on in Genesis, how when he was tempted of the serpent and did taste of the fat, he was sitting right there with her. And he also partook of it. And that meant that he had sinned before God. And what happened to them? They were naked before because the Holy Spirit was clothing them. They didn't think about the different parts of their body. But once Adam partook of that fruit, they both became aware that they were naked. What happened? How did they become naked? How did they begin to see themselves as being naked and being ashamed and wanted to grab fig leaves? Oh, they must have some huge fig leaves in those days and sew them together and hide their bodies. Why? Because the Holy Spirit. It didn't happen when Eve took of it, when she lusted after it, and when she tasted of it. Nothing happened because God had given the command to Adam what he could eat and what not to touch. And he sat there and watched Eve do it instead of telling her, no, God said no. And that's why the sin was on him, and then also on Eve, because I'm sure Adam had told her, but they didn't pay heed. They moved into their own wisdom, their own mind. That's why God told us we have to renew our mind. Hallelujah. Renew our mind, and we have to bring our bodies under subjection to the Word of God. Hallelujah. So that we would not stand against it. Paul said, I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body. You notice he started with the spirit first. Why? When God speaks, hallelujah, he opens up in us to receive. He's ready and anxious to give it to us because he wants a people that he can fellowship with, that he can have communion with, that he can just love on, and to let us feel his love and his grace. He wanted people that he could bestow his grace upon. He wanted people that would love him, his son, and the Holy Spirit, that we would reciprocate. Oh, glory be to God's love. Hallelujah. Now, we know, like I said, that we are in the same class as God. Because he said, let us make man in our image. Hallelujah. And the likeness of God. That's in Genesis 4:26. And Jesus said, and I'm going to give you the scriptures, John 4:24. I want y'all to really read these scriptures. It will verify to you what I'm saying to you. And it will cause a hunger within you that you want to hunger after more from the Lord. And we are learning even the more how to believe God from our heart. And not from our mind, our soulish reason. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, God is a spirit. Hallelujah. So it is not our physical man that is like God, but it's our spirit man. Because the Bible tells us that God is not a man. Over in Numbers 23, in verse 19. Remember, always remember that there is an inward man and there is an outward man. Hallelujah. An inward man and an outward man. Our inward man is our spirit man. our body is our alphabet. Over in John, the third chapter and the third verse, he had told Nicodemus that he must be born again. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So what was Nicodemus operating in? He was operating in the natural realm, and he could only think in terms of the natural. So in verse 4, he said, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Notice how Jesus answered him. Glory be to God, down in the sixth verse. He said, that which is born of the flesh and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So the new birth is a rebirth of our human spirit. Over in Romans 1 and 9, Paul said, for God is my witness when I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son. Oh, hallelujah. When I serve with my spirit, he didn't say with my flesh or my soulish realm, in the gospel of his son. You see, we have to notice what Jesus said, even to the woman at the well in Samaria. Over in John 4:24, said God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. I told you last week, I wanted to give you a testimony. Hallelujah. Of a strong, wonderful man of God. But he's gone on to be with the Lord now. I think he was in his 80s. He might have been in his 90s. Hallelujah. But I'm going to read to his testimony from his book. And hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But I want you to write this scripture down, because it will emphasize to you even more that the inward man is not the same as the outward man. They averse one another. They are not the same in any way. And you'll find that in Hebrews 12, verse 18 through 23. I also want you to write down 2 Corinthians 4:16. Hallelujah. And 1 Corinthians 9:27. All these scriptures that I've just given you deal with the inward man and the outward man, letting you know that we are to be led by the Spirit of God, by his Spirit that is within us. And over in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, we are to present our body and we are to renew our mind. These are things that we have to do. God is not going to do this. He is not going to renew your body. He is not going to renew your soulish realm. And Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, hallelujah, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh, hallelujah. is something in each one of these verses down there. When we find out this is what's going on within us. Paul is writing to the Roman Christians. He wasn't writing to the sinners, but he was writing to the Christians in Rome. And he wanted them. Oh, praise God. God wanted this for all of us. And when Paul, in Romans chapter 1, he was speaking to all the saints. It says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Romans 1 and 7. So who was he writing to? He was writing to the men and women that had been born again and those that had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And yet he was saying that Christians need to do something with their own bodies and their own minds. God is not going to do that. And that's why Paul also tells us that we should die daily. Not a physical death, but die to the things of the flesh and the things in your soulish realm that have been controlling you all your life. Those things that are not pleasing unto God. Those things that hold us back from reading the word of God and that hold us back from praising him. Hallelujah. Those are the things that he wants us to take control of. So you see, the new birth is not a rebirth of the human body. It's not a rebirth of the mind, but it is a rebirth of the human spirit. Oh, glory to God. And the indwelling of the Holy Ghost is not a physical experience. It's not even a mental experience, but it is a spiritual experience. Oh, glory to God. Because our bodies was not born again in the new birth. So we're going to have to do something with our body. We're going to have to present it to God as a living sacrifice. Oh, hallelujah. And we will have to do something with our mind. We're going to have to get our mind renewed with the word of God. Hallelujah. Let the word of God wash our minds clear. This is something that we have to do, not God. God gives us eternal life, and he offers us his spirit. But he doesn't do anything with your body and your mind, your soulish man. If anything is done with those two things, you have to do it yourself. Some people say, oh, I can't do that. I can't control. I can't stop smoking. I can't stop drinking. I can't stop fornicating. That's because your body, that's what your body wants. But as long as you take that against God, those things, you won't be able to give them up. You see, Timothy tells us about that tongue. And God also lets us know that those things that we speak, those things will come to life in us. That's why I ask people to watch your words. Watch what you say. Watch how you say it. Every day, practice that. You know, that's a buffer spirit that can stand between two individuals. And you can be saying one thing, but that buffer spirit will cause that person you're talking to hear you differently. It's just like the man that his daughter was in college, and she went to Western Union to send a message to her father that she needed some more money. And when they called him about the Western Union to give the father the message, the man said, well, Daddy, it's me, and I need you to send me some money right now. She didn't say it like that. In fact, she didn't say it. She wrote it out. And when her father heard it, she said, I'm not sending her She don't talk to me like that. But see, that's that buffer spirit. What was written, God only knows what kind of spirit the person was at Western Union that called and gave that message to the Father. And it made the Father angry to where he wouldn't send her anything. That's why we must be careful about our words and be careful not to speak negative things over us, not just to stay in a pitiful place, in a pitiful mood, always feeling sorry for yourself. That will get you nowhere with God. You can cry to the moon drops with blood. It's still not going to get anywhere with God. He wants you to read his word back to him. Speak his word, because his word is true. And there's no failure in his word. And that's why we have the Spirit, our spirit renewed in us, and the Holy Spirit in us, Kashikoya, to help us with our word, that we won't continue to speak negative things over ourselves, so that we will speak those things that are not as though they were, but speaking unto God, not to your body. God wants you to know that man is a spirit being. The spirit of man, again, is the heart of man. And we know that man is a spirit. We know that as a spirit being, man is in the same class with God. Why? Because he breathed and out into us, and because he also told, hallelujah, he called him Akaya, not only breathe within us, but he changed our spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now I want to read to you from Kenneth Hagin's book, and his book, hallelujah, his book. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. You can get, if you like, because his book is dealing with the spirit, and it's dealing with how God delivered him, how God set him free. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, what I'm reading to you out of his book is how he went to hell. He was a very sick man. He'd been ill all his life. And hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And he was 17. He went to church when his mother were able to take him. But he didn't just know God. His spirit man was like laying dormant in him. All he could think of was how sick he was. He wasn't even supposed to live to get 17. So he said that on April the 22nd, 1933, Saturday night at 7:30 p.m., in the south bedroom of 404 North College Street in the city of McKinney, Texas, just as Grandpa's old clock on the mantelpiece struck 7:30, my heart stopped beating within my bosom. And I felt the circulation cut off way down at the end of my toes, all the way up to my heart. I had the sensation of just leaping out of my body. I knew I was out of my body, and yet I was not less man than when I was when I was in my body. So what is that telling us? That the spirit, our bodies, is a replica of who we are in the spirit. So we are still no people when we go to heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
He said, I began to descend, and I went down, 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 like I was going down into a pit or a cavern or a well. I looked up, and I could see the lights of the earth way above me, for the earth puts off a certain amount of light. The further down I went, the darker it became, until finally darkness totally encompassed me round about. Darkness, darker than any night man has ever seen in his life. It was a darkness that seemed to be so dense that if you had a knife, you could cut a piece out of it, as if it were a solid mass. The further down I went, the harder it became, and the more stifling it became. My mind, my soul was intact. I thought of my life, and my entire past came up before me in my mind. As I descended, I could see fingers of light playing on that wall of darkness. All the time, I was still going down, down, making a descent. And in a few moments, I came to the bottom of a pit, and I saw what caused the light to play against the wall of darkness. In front of me, I saw giant orange flames crested by a white hot flame. I came to the gate, the entrance, the portal of hell itself. There was a creature of some kind that met me when I got to the bottom of the pit. I never looked at him, although I knew he was by my side, for my gaze was riveted to hell itself. I intended to put up a fight if I could to keep from going into that awful place. And so I paused, never coming to a complete step. I paused momentarily. And when I did, this creature by my side took me by my arm. All the time this was happening, my physical body lay on the bed, back in the bedroom in McKinney, Texas. But you see, there is a spiritual body. And that spiritual body has arms and legs and eyes and ears. All the features that the physical body had. That's why the rich man in Luke 16 said, I am tormented in this place. Remember me talking about that last time? Hallelujah. How he wanted Lazarus to come dip his finger in the water and come and cool his tongue. He just didn't know. Hallelujah. The rich man was possessed with all his faculties. And he saw Lazarus with his eyes, and he recognized him. Okay, actually, he said, when I was in hell, I couldn't tell any difference in myself between the physical and spiritual man, except for the fact that I could not contact the physical realm, and that I wasn't living in the physical realm. I was in the spiritual realm. Paul expressed this same thing similar in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2. He said, and I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And he was going on to say, heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. That's on down in verse 4. Hallelujah. My mother had out of body experience and went to heaven when she was on the operating table. Pastor Wanda on the operating table. She had her spirit come out of her body, and it was floating up there, and the doctors were saying, well, she's gone. There's nothing more we can do. Hallelujah. But her spirit was still up there in the hospital room. And there was the presence of somebody with her. And then after a certain time, they, as they were cleaning up and coming out, getting ready to leave out the hospital room, her body came, her spirit came back into her body. One of the nurses, surgical nurse, saw her move. And she turned, she said, she's still alive, she's alive. She had been pronounced dead. My mother had been pronounced dead. She felt herself descending. Oh, glory to God. In darkness. And she said, Father, I forgive those nurses for what they did to me. You see, they had given her an overdose of morphine. She was not on cancer. She was in there for another reason. And instead of them giving her Demerol, 50 milligrams of Demerol, they gave her 50 milligrams of morphine. And mother, being a nurse, told them, I'm dying. She kept telling them, help me, help me. And she, now my mother was so modest that she goes into the bathroom, takes her bath, and dresses before she gets in bed with my daddy. That's what she used to do. Hallelujah. She was not going to let people see her naked body, but she was pulling her gown up and fanning herself. And the nurse said, oh, Miss Ruby, you're going to be all right. Just go to sleep. She said, you're crazy. I'm not going to sleep. I'm dying. And mother grabbed hold to the buzzer, and she pressed on it, and she wouldn't let go of it. And the supervisor was at the nurse's station. She knew there was two nurses in the room with my mother, but yet she was still calling for help. So she came down there, and, of course, she did code 99, and by that time she had been dead about 5 minutes or more. But God brought her back. She, you see, in her heart, she had unforgiveness for those nurses. She was angry with them for what they did to her. And that unforgiveness would not get you into heaven. I don't care how long you've been saved. And it's not once saved, always saved. Read the word. It is not. Hallelujah. But she asked him, she said, Father, I forgive those nurses. Please save George's Ruby. George was my daddy. Please save him. And God brought her back to life. She should have had brain damage. Anything for the length of time that she was there, but God brought her back. Hallelujah.
And hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. You know, most Bible scholars agreed that Paul was talking about his own experience of being caught up to the third heaven. But Paul said, I don't know whether I was in my body or out of my body. I also had an out-of-body experience in 2014. The last thing I heard the doctor say, and my family wasn't in there at that time, and they said she had sepsis and this bacteria that either the blood transfusion they gave me was not good, or whoever put the needle in my neck for them to start a blood transfusion, because my veins would just blow in my arms. And I said, God, help me. And then I saw myself And I was up in a bubble, a big bubble. And at the top of that bubble was a great light. And I felt like it was the presence of God. And around me were demons that were flicking me with scars. And they were just going all around me, flicking me with these scars. And every time they flicked me, it brought pain to my body. And I cried out to God. I'm saying, God, I'm your child. I love you. I do what you want me to do. I just kept crying out to him. And it looked like he was looking at me and like his spirit was sad. And the Holy Spirit in me quickened me to say, he wants you to do it. You have the power and authority in you to get rid of those things. Who shut up? And the moment I said, Father, forgive me, and I said, I command you, demons, to take your leave of absence from me right now in the name of Jesus, for the blood of Jesus is against you. And one by one, they went pop, 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 and they were gone. And then I heard somebody call my name. Thought it was the doctor, but they were still in the doorway discussing me. She caught my eye. Hallelujah. And I tried to raise my hand to give my hand to whoever was telling me to take that hand. But you see, it wasn't the doctors, but it was the Lord bringing that life back into me, getting rid of that sepsis. Hallelujah. So I can't doubt him. I have to believe him for everything because he's shown me too much. He's done too much. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, to get back to Kenneth's testimony, hallelujah. He said, as that creature took me by the arm to escort me into hell, there was a voice that spoke from far above the blackness, above the earth, and above the heavens, from the throne room of God. I don't know what the voice said. It was the sound of a man's voice, a male voice, and I could hear it as it boomed and echoed down through that shaft of darkness from heaven above. I don't know what the voice said because the words weren't spoken in English. It was a foreign tongue to me, but it was the voice of God. When he spoke those words, first he spoke from six to nine words, that whole region of the damned shook and quivered, just like a leaf in the wind. Then that creature took his hand off of my arm, and there was an unseen power, just like a suction, an irresistible pull to my back that began to pull me back away from the entrance of hell, back to the shadows of that shaft of darkness. Then that irresistible, unseen power pulled me back up to earth. I came up head first. I came up on the porch outside the south bedroom where my body lay dead. I knew for just a second that I was standing on the porch. Then I went right through the wall because you see, material things have no effect on spiritual things. And I went back inside my body. I just seemed to leap inside my body like a man would put his foot into a shoe. I realized as soon as I got inside my body that I could contact the physical realm again. And I said to my grandmother, who had held my hand in her lap and bathed my face with a cool, damp cloth. And he said, Granny, I'm dying. She said, Son, I thought you were dead. I didn't know you were coming back. I said, I'm going again, and I won't be back next time. And that same incident of descending into hell happened three times. Each time I did come back, as my spirit left my body, when I descended into the lower regions, into hell, that same voice spoke, and when I began to descend the third time, oh God, I began to scream out to God, God, I belong to the church. No answer came as I said those words. But it will take more than church membership to miss hell and heaven and make heaven. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus said, you must be born again. John 3:7. He says, certainly I believed in joining a church, but it was not the church membership that will save a person. It's being born again. You see, God brought that scripture back to him. You must be born again. Otherwise, you're not going to make it. And he went on to say, as I came out, hallelujah, of that horrible pit the third time, my spirit began to pray. My physical voice, Gene, picked up the prayer as I entered back into my body the third time. I prayed so loudly that neighbors could hear me. I began to call upon God that he would have mercy on me, a sinner, and that he would forgive me for my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I accepted Jesus as my Savior and confessed him as my Lord. I felt so wonderful, as if a heavy burden had rolled off of my chest. The name of his book is I Believe in Vision. I Believe in Vision. That's Kenneth E. Hagin's book. And this is his testimony. He said, then I went to heaven. He said, about 4 months later, on August 16th, 1933, at 1:30 in the afternoon, I knew I was dying. I was in the last throes of death. So I said to my youngest brother, who was standing by my bed, Pat, run and get Mama quick. I'm dying. I want to tell her goodbye. And he ran out of the room like a shot. Just as Mother came into the room, I had the same sensation of leaving my body as I had had before, except I was saved now. I leaped out of my body, and when I left my body, this time I began to ascend. I didn't go down this time, I went up. He said, we lived in an old-fashioned house with a hot ceiling, and I got up to about where the roof of the house should have been. I must have been about 16 or 18 feet above the bed. I was fully conscious. I knew everything that was going on. When I got up that high, I stopped ascending, and I just seemed to stand there, down into the room, and I saw my body. Not me, not my spirit, but my physical body, lying there on the bed. And I saw my mother stooped over me with my hand in hers. Mama told me afterwards that I had her hand in a death-like grip. But you see, I had left my body. Therefore, I couldn't tell her goodbye. Then I looked up and I heard a voice. Again, I didn't see anyone, but I heard a voice. And again, it was a male voice. I do not know whether it was Jesus, whether it was an angel, or who it was, but I know it was an emissary of heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This time, the voice did not speak in a foreign tongue, but spoke in English. And here's what the voice said. Go back, go back, go back. You can't come yet. Your work on earth is not done. And when he, whoever it was, said that, I began to descend, and I came back into my body. Oh, glory to God. And when I got back inside my body, I said, Mama, I'm not going to die now. Thought I meant I wasn't going to die that minute. But I meant that I wasn't going to die then at all, but live and do the work and the will of God. He said, I laid that bed fast exactly 12 months, almost to the day before I received my healing. So even though it was the will of God for me to live, God couldn't make an exception to me. In other words, I had to receive my healing like anyone else does, by faith. And it took me 12 months to see the truth of God's word concerning healing. Hallelujah. He said, I lay on that bed for months and months just waiting for God to heal me. And he didn't do it. And if you're waiting for God to heal you, he's not going to do it. You're just wasting your time because God is waiting for you to receive what he has already freely given you. And if you will begin reading the word and meditating on it, you'll begin to appropriate your healing and receive that which God has already wrought for you, and you will receive your healing. And you see, he believed, he had faith, but he thought God was supposed to do it. But God wants us to reach out to him. Hallelujah. Physical death is separation from the body. And I will give you finally two more scriptures. And did I tell you that? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, I did. 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Philippians 1:21-24. He said, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. This is Paul. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Hallelujah. Pastor Flint. Pastor Flint, I need you to pray for all of us. Pray for the eyes of those of us that have not received the baptism of the Holy. Just pray for them. And after he prays, Prophetess Pam, if you'll give us our closing words.
Which number is
Pam? Pastor Flint, what is your last four digits? Oh, he can't tell me.
Okay.
1075, I think. Praise God. Pastor.
He's not on there.
Okay. All right. Evangelist Flint, if you would pray for us, and then we'll have Prophetess to close us out. Give us the closing words. You see, Maria.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God, for this day. We just give you the glory, honor, and the praise, Father, for this awesome word, Lord God. We're praying for each and every person that's on this line, God, their family members, Lord. We just thank you, Lord God, because we know that you are God and God all along, God. We just thank you right now for your presence. And thank you, Lord God, for giving us life today, God, just to open our eyes and say hello. Welcome to another day, God. We just bless your holy name. You are worthy. Worthy, worthy to be praised, God. We just give you the glory, honor, and the praise, God. God, thank you for my mother on tonight and the words that have come out of her mouth, God, how you have blessed her, her testimonies, and how she's come back a long, mighty long way, God. And I bless and I pray that prayer for each and every one of us that we can continue to walk this walk, God, with you, God, asking you for direction, God, asking you for to lead us on the way, God, the righteousness down your path, God. Let us not be in self, but God, let us be selfless, Lord God, and direct us into what we need to be doing for the purpose of our lives, God. So we just ask you right now that you cover each and every one of us with your blood, Lord God. We ask that you keep us covered, God, from the top of our heads to the sole of our feet, God. We thank you, Lord, that we will walk in divine health, Lord God. We thank you right now for a long, healthy life, God. We ask that you save those that are unsaved, God. We ask that, God, you heal those that are sick, God, in their bodies, God. Did it for me, God. Do it for others, God. I thank you for blowing your breath into my body, God, and I ask you right now, God, that you, Lord. Lord, I thank you right now, God, that you are doing an awesome, awesome thing in us, Lord God. Keep us, Lord. Keep us, God. Keep us, God. Save our children everywhere, Lord God. I thank you, Lord. I give you the glory. I give you the honor, and I give you the praise, God. You are so, so worthy of all the praises. Jesus, yes. We pray. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, praise God. Prophetess.
Father God, we're so thankful we can call on you. We can just thank you, and we can worship together on this line. I thank you for Apostle, Reverend, Evangelist, myself, all of us on this line, one by one, name by name, respectively. And Father God, I thank you for your blessings of today, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. I thank you for working it all out. And I know that we don't have to worry. All we need is faith in you. And we thank you for the words that were brought forth for our ears. Let us run this race the way you have said it before, because we are already victorious. May the Lord watch between we and thee, while we're after, one from the other. In Jesus' most holy and righteous name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless each one of you. We love you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jesus. The one in North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
I texted her about the. So she put her hand, praying hands. I guess that's what she said. She enjoyed it, I guess. Thank you, Lord. I thank God so much, baby. I thank him so much. You know, Kenneth Copeland, after Kenneth Hagin had died, he asked his son if he would send him all of his tapes and the videos. And they sent him from day one that he started his church. Not when he started his church, when he was evangelizing. And then he and Gloria, that's how they built their ministry, how Kenneth had taught them and how Oral Roberts had also taught them, because he went to Oral Roberts School. And then he became something for Hagin. I thought it was
the Pallet,
yeah. So, I just praise God. And then he shared all that with Jerry and with Jesse. And they took it in and they held on to it. And I'm going to ask God to help me to buy more workshops, more workbooks that I can learn from. Because on
some of those that's back there in the room, I've got answers to all of them, you know, that's written in there. But I can go back over and learn. Just reiterate it into my spirit and into my body. The teachings of God. And from those two prophets, Kenneth and Copeland, or Roberts, not Kenneth, but Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, and Old Roberts. Many, many, many people have been saved, delivered, healed. I mean, they really were foundational teachers and leaders, just like Paul. And I think about the man that he and his wife and daughter was killed in a plane crash on their way to for him to speak. And he's the first one that opened up to us about Adam, you know, being formed from the dust of the earth. But there was no white earth. I mean, there was no, over in Africa, there was no white dirt. Oh, Jesus. Because that's why Eden was off. When you look at where he tells you where this river ran into that river, mm-hmm. and that's where the Garden of Eden was. And he taught that there is no white God. God is a spirit anyway, and Jesus was not a white man. He came out of a country where people were brown skinned. You know, the Jews are not white. White, they have whatever. But he said that the dirt was black dirt. And God formed him out of that black dust of the ground. Because you cannot get any other color out of white but white. But whatever color you want, you mix it with black and you can get that color. All colors came out of black. And from, even with Noah, his children were different colors. They weren't all the same color. And it wasn't because Ham looked at his father and his nakedness. He was already dark. And that's where, when they was divided into all these different countries, that's how there was brown, black, white, yellow, all different colors. But all those colors came out of one color. And I thank God for that tonight. The enemy tried to keep me from being able, but I'm so glad that I had read it before and I asked the Holy Spirit. Some things I skip over. I don't say them, but I try to remember and to tell them the most important, what the scripture is talking all about. You know, I just want to be right, wondering.
I know you do. And he knows it more than anyone.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. I meant it when I said I wish I could teach every day of the week. Because there's so much for us to learn right now.
But there's always a day of rest.
Always.
There's a time and season for all things.
I know, baby.
But the desires of our hearts, they're sincere, but he knows.
Yeah.
But he also knows your condition.
Yes.
You know my condition.
Mm-hmm. I thank him. George must have still been on the conference call.
Mm-hmm. More than likely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I give you praise, God. I give you praise. God, I lift all the Indian tribes up to you. I lift Israel up to you, God. All the refugees all over this world and how they're being treated. God, I ask you to have mercy on them, cover them all with the blood. Father, let the people get enough money in to help these children that are orphans. I ask you to have mercy on them, the ones in Israel, the ones all over this world. You gave them the United States. You gave them this country. And it's been taken from them even to the point where they can't get jobs because they put them so far away from the cities. It was so horrible. I don't know how people can how they can live with themselves. Father, I ask you that every one of the Indians, the Sioux, the Cheyenne, the ones that's in my family, the Cherokee, and any others, or those up there in the countries of Montana and way up where Gene came from. It's a lot of tribes, they pushed them up there. And the coal, and they can't get wood and stuff to keep them. And they said, look, grandmama died, froze to death. Help me and wonder, God, when you bless us with money to send to them, the Idaho's, Lord, I love them. The Navajo, Navajo.
No Idaho potatoes.
No, but the Navajo people, Lord.
Yeah, it's especially going to come on because they are the first people of this land.
That's right. That's right. And white men took it away from them.
But they helped in the war with their language, and the others couldn't recognize what they were saying.
That's right.
But say the old people just died from diseases, and there go the language.
Lord Jesus.
There go the language.
When they send me something, they tell me how to say hello and how to say thank you and goodbye. Partners in ministry, they went to the Navajo Indians back in the spring. No, they had it here in the spring. They went during the winter. That we would have gone to Sokoa. They went. Oh, and some of those children are so beautiful. They ministered to the whole tribe. I wish we could have gone. We didn't know about it until they sent me the pictures and everything. Oh, God, I thank you so much. Isn't that beautiful? I forgot to tell to call Yaffa. I hope she remembers. Hello.
Did you have your phone?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I'm not, it's not on. My phone won't even turn off. To what?
To the gold call?
I guess.
You didn't hang up.
Baby, when I...
You didn't have me in the phone. You didn't hang up. There it is. Still up on there. Hang
it
up.
Just came back up. I
hang
had
up.
To pull the thing down.
Hit the red.
I keep hitting that button.